good afternoon. Thanks to all of you for delving into a really complicated and thorny subject on a sunny holiday weekend. I'm here to provide a positive counterpoint and to also give you a sense of how organizations and progressive state legislators and movements and advocates as yourselves can provide, can expand and shift the debate on immigration to look at solutions that are common sense, pragmatic, and progressive, and that expand opportunity for all residents, native born as well as immigrants. Let me take a step back for a minute to talk about, or to just give you a sense of the organization I'm with, Progressive States Network. We're a national organization. We work with roughly, I think at this point, 7,000 progressive state legislators from all over the country. And we are really about building a movement. We are really about working together and sort of knitting together progressive state legislators with advocates, as well as with people like you, to advance progressive policies and really build change from the ground up. And when it comes to immigration, as many of you know, state and local legislators understand the reality of immigration in their communities in a different way often than folks in the Beltway, and are ready and have been ready for a while to develop progressive common sense solutions to a very complex issue. And we work with folks who are really thinking outside the box and are developing some really innovative ideas that we think many of you, as well as folks in DC, you should really be taking their cues from. And these, again, are coming from progressive state legislators who, whether or not the federal government has been taking some action or not taking action with respect to comprehensive immigration reform or immigration enforcement at the federal level, are developing some innovative ideas. And you know, and as immigration has increasingly devolved to the state and local level, lawmakers, as Anne mentioned, regardless of whether or not they understand a very complex issue, are increasingly being put on the spot to do something. And despite media noise to the contrary, there actually are progressive voices and a positive counterpoint with respect to immigration policy at the state and local level. And I'm hoping to share with you some of those views that you may not necessarily get in the media maelstrom about SB 1070 and all of the concerning sort of aspects that the law has. We work very closely with members of a group called State Legislators for Progressive Immigration Policy, which I know is a long name, which have members in 28 states. Many of them are immigrants themselves or the children of immigrants, like myself. Many of them are folks who don't come from immigrant backgrounds at all, but are willing to take on a very complex issue and develop some solutions. And we are working to continue to assemble and build progressive state voices and policymakers to fill this, to at least try and fill this vacuum on at the federal level with respect to immigration reform or immigration policy in a positive way. And we're doing that in three really critical ways. Firstly, we're working to broadcast these voices of progressive state legislators so that you're not just hearing about people like Russell Pierce, but you're hearing from people like Rashida Tlaib, for example, in Michigan, who's the Palestinian American state legislator from Detroit, whose district is mostly Latino, and who's the person who introduced the resolution in Michigan against basically Arizona and SB 1070. She's also the person who's working on economic development issues in her community because her district tells her that they need them. And she's also somebody who's introducing legislation to bolster protections for workers, whether they're undocumented or not, through the workers' compensation system in Michigan. And part of the way that we're broadcasting those voices is we are making sure that members of the media, in fact, this week we just had a press briefing with reporters so that they could hear straight from progressive state legislators from across the country, in this case in four states specifically, who are providing a positive counterpoint by introducing progressive state legislation on immigration policy. Mind you, we know and we agree that it is up to the federal government to enact and to deal with immigration laws. But in the meantime, there are a number of ways that state legislation can not only expand opportunity for immigrant communities, but can expand opportunity for residents and communities at large. And I'll tell you how those are going to fall into five main areas. You know, we're working to, you know, introduce and, in fact, advance positive pro-immigrant, pro-community legislation that recognizes the value of immigrants and expands opportunity for communities at large. And the five areas that we're working actively on to develop, introduce, and advance legislation right now, again, respond to the reality of the nation being in an economic crisis, residents at large feeling very concerned about their economic future, the questions or concerns about safety that Anne mentioned, as well as the hyperbole about rising levels of immigration creating rising levels of crime, which we actually know based on the data is not true. In fact, nationwide and especially along a border, when you see higher levels of immigration, you're actually seeing lower levels of crime. But again, part of the flawed debate right now on the issue. So without further ado, the first area that we're working with in terms of legislation and ways that you can actually help build support for progressive common sense policies at the state level is an area called wage enforcement, right? This is where we're actually going after bad apple employers who are leveraging workers' immigration status or lack thereof as a way to force them to not be subject to wage and hour laws that apply to people regardless of their immigration status, right? This is historically, especially in places like Iowa and Nebraska, wage, legislation that actually goes after immigrant workers has traditionally and effectively been diffused by wage enforcement legislation that says enforce laws that are already on the books and don't go after immigrant workers who are forced to accept these conditions, in fact, instead go after their employers who are exploiting them, bringing down wage levels for workers as a whole, and undermining workplace safety standards. Again, strategy-wise, very effective. We were able to use wage enforcement legislation in Maryland, Iowa, and a few other states effectively to be able to defuse anti-immigrant legislation. We also have in two different states a domestic workers' bill of rights. Again, very helpful for domestic workers as a whole, largely immigrant, largely women, often undocumented, who in many states are not subject to existing wage and hour protections. The Domestic Worker Bill of Rights is hopefully going to be signed very soon by New York State Governor David Patterson, and there's also legislation in California that's moving on this issue again. Again, not specifically about immigrants or immigration policy, but again, looking at a way that largely immigrant workers are often exploited by their employers. Next, what I like to call community policing legislation, which again provides a counterpoint to legislation like in Arizona, like 287G agreements, like the Secure Communities Program, that says law enforcement, it's not the job of law enforcement to enforce immigration laws. It's the job of law enforcement officers and state and local law enforcement to keep communities safe. To be able to keep communities safe, they need to be able to build trust and they need to focus on violent criminals, not janitors, landscapers, and nannies who are living in communities and who should be embraced or at least working with state and local law enforcement so they can serve as witnesses in criminal investigations, provide information to state and local law enforcement, and cooperate with the police in matters other than their own immigration status. Again, keeping communities as a whole safer. Expanding healthcare access. As Anne mentioned, you know, we're working with folks in several states actually to be able to, states can actually decide to expand healthcare access for legal immigrant children and in some cases undocumented pregnant women through the SCHIP, the State Child Health Plus program, as well as some state Medicaid programs. Utah for the past 2 years has come this close to passing legislation that would extend healthcare programs and care to legal immigrant children. This is a win-win situation for states as a whole because providing preventive care makes healthcare costs as a whole lower and increases the ability of legal immigrant children to be able to live a healthy life. Next, moving fast, immigrant integration policies, right? Anne mentioned these as well. These are policies that welcome immigrants as residents into communities and also figure out ways that they can support them to contribute to society and to be able to also matriculate into systems. They include tuition equity legislation. Again, notice the framing. This isn't in-state tuition. This is tuition equity. This is an opportunity to provide undocumented students with the same right to an education that their neighbors are if they do have legal immigration status or are U.S. citizens. And we're working with several state legislators in several states right now to be able to move as well as to preserve tuition equity legislation, because the elephant in the room, I'm not sure if folks already got to it, are threats to several of these pro-immigrant policies, whether it's from FAIR, whether it's from the Immigration Reform Law Institute, whether they're from our friend Chris Kobach from the University of Kansas, who has made it his business to draft his law students to write legal challenges and law briefs against in-state tuition policies, as well as efforts to expand healthcare access for immigrant children. We also are working to craft legislation as well as policies that support ESL and civics instruction. Clearly, if we ever do get a comprehensive immigration reform proposal, folks will need to be able to put in the pipeline so that they can learn English as well as go through a civics program. And this is, again, you know, something that helps immigrants integrate into the workplace in particular, right? Research has shown that if a low-wage immigrant worker goes up one level in an ESL program, their wages can go up by almost 30%. So it not only helps them be able to communicate with other people, but it helps them advocate for themselves effectively in the workplace. Next and finally, one other thing that I should mention under the immigrant integration piece is several cities, again, common sense solutions to immigrant and immigration policy. Several cities, as you probably know, are developing municipal identification cards, which, again, take immigration status out of the equation, right? They say you're a local resident. You have access to this national, to this municipal identification card. The most rock star example of this so far has been New Haven, which has which responded to a wave of crime in immigrant neighborhoods because folks in the community knew that immigrants didn't have access to banking services because they lacked an identification card. These mostly undocumented folks were referred to as walking ATMs and were robbed across the board, right? Crime with the introduction of a municipal ID card in New Haven, which also includes, mind you, access to recreation centers, access to public libraries, a form of identification for folks across the board, and finally, soon, access to banking, has actually lowered crime in New Haven. And there are several cities, including San Francisco, Oakland, and Trenton most recently, that have followed suit with this sort of common sense solution to immigrants lacking identification. And finally, we're looking at streamlining and working to support and welcome minority and women-owned small businesses. Many of you probably know that immigrants, as well as some women, are almost three times as likely sometimes to start immigrant small businesses or to start small businesses. And this, again, contradicts this flawed narrative that immigrants are only drains on state and local economy. No matter how much I say it, nobody seems to believe that immigrants have actually been responsible for revitalizing downtown centers of urban areas as well as suburban areas, developing and creating jobs and pumping money into state and local tax bases. So we're looking at ways to be able to continue to work on streamlining the certification process for women and minority-owned businesses to help connect them, right, with the traditional small business incubators, as well as work to figure out how we can support these local agents of change often as ways and folks who are making a decision to contribute in a very specific and real way back to their communities. I should also say that what was one of the biggest developments actually on this issue most recently, in particular, in contradiction to SB 1070, is the U.S. Conference of Mayors actually just passed a resolution last month to contradict SB 1070, which is huge. This is 200 mayors from across the nation, not just the mayors of L.A., New York, and San Francisco, but mayor, you know, this membership organization that made a decision, or made a very public decision, in a way they haven't in the past, to actually speak out against an anti-immigrant and, quite frankly, anti-economic development approach in Arizona. I should say that if you want more information about us or about the state legislators that we work with, the easiest way for you to access it is if you go to www.progressivestates.org/immigration. And I have with me, which I maybe will leave, a list of the principles for progressive immigration policy that we have developed that our legislators have signed on to. Again, these are folks from 28 states. And I also have a list of all of the folks from who have signed on to these principles organized by state. Thanks.